It was very late, the last hours of the last weekend of Fasching, and somehow, after they left the brothel, they found their way back into Kaiserslautern and another celebration that was finally winding down. The beer hall was half empty, and not long after they arrived, Duncan and Rogers had disappeared. Chris looked out over the dance floor and could see them, both their bobbing heads, on the far side of the hall. He then turned away and went back into the shadows, near the Damen und Herren signs, found an empty stool against the wall, and sat down. He was so tired now, tired of it all, and he leaned back against the wall, barely hearing the bouncing music and late-hour ruckus about him, drifting into the last hazy vestiges before sleep. Distant voices, noises, drifted in and out of his fading consciousness. Figures, images, flickering through his mind as he vaguely tried to understand them, their meaning, when, at nearly the last moment, there came the clap-clap. His mind paused now, listening, soon hearing another clap-clap, and then the impatient voice.
"Wake up, Abby. I don't have all night, you know."
He opened his eyes. A girl in a black mask stood there, hands on cocked denim hips. He shut his eyes again and only very slowly opened one eye back. Wavy, stylishly cut, dark blonde hair, black leather jacket and braless beneath her Bintang's t-shirt, tight, pipe-legged jeans that disappeared down her long legs into equally stylish black boots. She looked irritated, as if she had just finished one argument or fight with someone and was ready to start another.
"So, do you want to sleep or dance? Anyway, I think it's the last one of the night."
Chris stood up and made his way out to the dance floor behind her. There she turned and raised a hand. He took it into his and slipped his other hand around her waist when she gave him a little shove, adjusting the distance between them as they moved around the floor. She didn't look at him at all or say a word until Duncan and Rogers, now dancing together, waved and called out to them as they passed by. She half smiled and looked at him.
"Are those your friends?"
"I don't think so."
"Sure."
When the dance ended, she started to turn and just walk away, leaving him standing there. "Wait," he said. She stopped and turned around.
Can't I at least know your name?"
"What for?"
For that moment, he didn't know what to say. She started to turn away again.
"Wait, please."
She looked at him again, frowning.
"Look, Ami, we just had our little dance, okay? Now, I'm tired and I want to go home and drink some warm milk and go to bed, okay?"
But he wasn't listening to her. Instead, he was looking at the shape of her mouth, with its hint of sad, beautiful smile, and the certain unique way she angled her head, just so, when he realized.
"That was you," he said.
She stood there, unmoving, her wary blue cat's eyes staring back at him through the mask.
"The girl on the Autobahn billboard, the girl in the shower. You were laughing and holding out that bar of soap and saying, 'Alles klar,' that was you."
She laughed as if caught off guard and barely shook her head, her hair beneath the dance floor lights shifting in red gold waves about her shoulders.
"You're a pretty crazy fellow, aren't you, Ami?"
"No, it's the lips and the eyes. Like Rogers said, you can't hide the eyes." And she stood there now, looking back at him with those lips and those eyes, as if he and the entire world had disappointed her.
"Never mind that," he said. "Just tell me your name." "I'm sorry," she said,
and that was that. She turned and walked quickly away between the other dancers, blonde on black, disappearing through the doorway and out into the cold late winter night.